Now to yesterday's January 6th committee hearings. They still didn't produce the smoking gun of Donald Trump ordering followers to commit sedition. But yesterday we learned of a draft of then-President Trump's December tweet telling followers to come to Washington on January 6th. It included the line, "We'll march to the Capitol." A convicted insurrectionist testified that he went to the Capitol because then-President Trump told him to. And a committee member, Democratic Congresswoman Stephanie Murphy, quoted texts between Trump's former campaign manager, Brad Parscale, and Katrina Pearson, a former campaign spokesperson, in which Parscale blamed Trump for a death that day. He told Pearson he felt guilty for helping Trump win.
Katrina Pearson responded, "You did what you felt right at the time, and therefore it was right." Mr. Parscale added, "Yeah, but a woman is dead. And yeah, if I was Trump and I knew my rhetoric killed someone." When Ms. Pearson replied, "It wasn't the rhetoric," Mr. Parscale said, "Katrina, yes, it was."
Jill Weinbanks is a former Watergate prosecutor and now an MSNBC legal analyst. Jill, what do you hear in that exchange?
I hear something that is not held up by the fact that Parscale still works for Donald Trump. It is a connection between the death and between the destruction and the violence of January 6th and the rhetoric of Donald Trump. But he obviously didn't get it enough because he stayed on. And that's what I worry about with all of Trump's supporters.
Well, the committee also heard from Stephen Ayers, who was at the January 6th attack, but he said he only had planned to go to the Stop the Steal rally. He hadn't originally planned to go to the Capitol, and Representative Murphy asked him about that.
So why'd you decide to march to the Capitol?
The president, got everybody riled up, told everybody to head on down. So we basically were just following what he said.
He also said he left when the president told him to leave. And as we mentioned, we learned in that draft tweet that was, deleted, that back in December, the president planned to call on supporters to march to the Capitol. Why is all this important?
It's all important because it does, again, show the president's role, the former president's role. But what's also important is the fact that he tried to keep it quiet. He tried to not let it be known in advance that they would march. Shows his consciousness of guilt. It knows his intent. It shows his intent. It shows that he intended violence to result. He knew the crowd was armed. He knew it was dangerous. He said, "They aren't here to hurt me. You can let them march from here. Let them into the rally. Take away the metal detectors so that they don't have to give up their guns."
That was something we heard.
That was what he was saying.
We heard that in the last hearing, that was on January 6th. He knew they were armed. And now we're learning that back in December, he had said, "We're going to march to the Capitol," because some of his supporters have said, no, that was just something that, it kind of got out of hand. But no, it was part of the plan, at least according to that draft. And he wrote that tweet after that insane-sounding meeting in the White House on December 18th, 2020. This is days after the Electoral College certified Joe Biden's win. Top aides like White House counsel Pat Cipollone in the office facing off against Trump and lawyer Sidney Powell, former advisor Michael Flynn, Rudy Giuliani. Cipollone said in this six-hour, incredibly contentious, people screaming meeting, he asked for any evidence that the election was fraudulent. There was none. President Trump tried to appoint Sidney Powell special counsel. This is the lawyer, Sidney Powell, who unleashed unhinged conspiracy theories about a Venezuelan plot to rig U.S. voting machines. Here she is in her closed-door testimony, her voice dripping with disdain for the others, describing what she says happened when Trump said he wanted to elevate her.
Cipollone and or Hirschman and whoever the other young man was said, "You can name her whatever you want to name her and no one's going to pay any attention to it."
How did he respond? How did the president respond to that?
Something like, "You see what I deal with. I deal with this all the time."
Now, in his testimony, Cipollone said he thought it would have been insane to name her special counsel. He said no. But Jill, what do you make of then President Trump trying to name her?
It's all part of his plot. That's what this committee's hearings has showed overall, is that this is like an octopus with many tentacles. And at the center of it is Donald Trump directing that you do things to the state legislatures, that you have a fake slate of electors, that you have this mob go to the Capitol when all else failed. They tried legal methods of filing in court. 60 of them were thrown out for lack of evidence. And at the very last minute, when all else failed, there was a well-coordinated plot to attack the Capitol, to delay the counting of the votes. And the importance of the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers is that they were there in advance. They were the ones who broke the windows to open the way for the rest of the people, like Mr. Ayers, who didn't go intending to do violence. He intended to support the president by protesting at the rally. That was all. But the way was led by those violent insurrectionists, by the militia.
Yeah. Well, but others are saying there might have been inspiration, there might have been influence, but is there a criminal activity here? I put that aside for a second because Congresswoman Liz Cheney, vice chair of the committee, said yesterday that Trump telephoned a witness and that the committee informed the Department of Justice. We have less than a minute. But the witness saw the caller and didn't answer. So is that intimidation if they didn't answer the phone? Is intimidation just calling?
We don't know enough about it for me to give a legal opinion. Mm-hmm. I would say from the evidence that is public so far, there are a number of crimes. The difference between how you are influenced to vote by the information you're getting from the committee is very different than the evidence that will be necessary to convict of crimes, where every element of a statute must be satisfied.
Right, and we're going to have to leave it at
that. We'll have to see.
Yeah, we'll have to leave it at that. We'll have you back. Jill Winebanks, former Watergate prosecutor, as we continue to parse through the January 6th committee hearings. Thanks so much.
Thank you.